The Torah has a different remazim in this week's parsha to the importance of Talmud Torah in different aspects, but I want to quote what I think is a hidden gem that I never saw anyone else quoted, and it's the name of the Klausenberger Rebbe, but it's not in any of his svarim. I saw in the Sefer Bamidbar Yehuda, and he was by a Sheva Brachas, and the author heard the Klausenberger Rebbe say over the following vort on this week's parsha. So the pasuk says, Zos chukas haTorah, these are the laws of the Torah that Hashem has commanded, saying, "Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel." And the Torah then jumps in to talk about the mitzvah of paraduma. So the question of the commentators generally asks is that why does it say zos chukas haTorah? It should say zos chukas hapara. These are the laws of the cow. What do you mean? These are the laws of the Torah. This is a very specific area. This isn't the whole Torah. This isn't what all of Torah is about. This is chukas hapara of the Duma, paraduma. These are the laws of the red cow. So he opens up the Klausenberger Rebbe with a seemingly innocuous Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yotes. The Gemara there says that you can't put bread into an oven on Erev Shabbos or a cake on top of coals. You can't heat up you can't bake bread on Erev Shabbos unless there's time for the face of the bread to form a crust before Shabbos. Because that will be considered if the bread is baked enough before Shabbos, and if the crust forms on Shabbos, it's considered too late, and it would be a form of cooking on Shabbos. So the Klausenberger Rebbe wants to understand this Gemara al Derech HaRemez, bringing two different ideas together. The first is the difference in Shabbos and Erev Shabbos. We know, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says in Daf Gimel, that this world is considered Erev Shabbos, and the next world is considered Shabbos, right? The Gemara says, Misha Tarach B'Erev Shabbos, Yochel B'Shabbos. Whoever prepares an Erev Shabbos, i.e. this world, will be able to prepare to eat on Shabbos itself, meaning in the next world. So this world is Erev Shabbos, and the next world is Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the world of the Olam HaEmes. And then the second idea, says the Klausenberg Rebbe, is that bread is always a remez, is always a hint to the idea of Parnassa, right? Ein Kemach, Ein Torah, bread is sustenance, taking care of oneself, feeding oneself. Bread is always representing the idea of making a living. And he says that this is the idea over here, that our parnasa needs to have a coating around, needs to have a crust. It needs to be heated by the light of the Torah. And therefore, we do this by coming home from work, and we engage in Talmud Torah, we engage in ruchnius and spiritual matters. But if you come home from a day of work, and you continue to engage in physical things, and you continue to engage in Gashmias, and you don't cap off the day with the fire of Torah, with the light of Torah, so then that informs us that the entire day up until this point was about physicality and taking care of physical needs, and the rest of the day is also about it. And it doesn't change, and it doesn't highlight that the whole goal of the day was leading towards the opportunity to have a few moments to learn Torah, to sit with the Chavrusa, to open up a Sefer, and to connect to the Nitzchias that is Talmud Torah. And therefore, with this idea of bread representing the idea of physicality and Gashmias and Parnassa, and misusing it and not taking the opportunity to learn Torah, he explains a very funny Gemara in Beit and Daf Tazayin. The Gemara there says that Hani Bavle Tibshai Da'achli Nahama B'Nahama, that the Babylonians were very foolish because they would eat bread with bread. They would take mizonos and eat it together in like a bread sandwich, like a spaghetti sandwich. They would eat just carbs on top of carbs. And they called the Babylonians foolish for eating in such a way. Why? Because bread is supposed to have something else with it. You put either something sweet on top of the bread, peanut butter, you put meat on top of the bread, you make a sandwich. The bread is there to hold something else. The bread is not there as an end unto itself. And therefore he says that we also need to adorn our parnasa, our bread needs to have other things with it. It needs to have the sweetness of Torah. It needs to have the depth of Torah along with the bread itself. Because if you just have parnasa on top of parnasa with no goal, with no end of Torah to enhance it and Torah to bring out the real spirituality in life, so then that's silly. And therefore he says, Hari Bavli Tivshoi Da'achli Nahama B'Nahama. The people are so foolish sometimes. A person comes home from work, and he's back on the computer, back on the cell phone, right again. And he goes from work on top of work. Bread on top of bread on top of bread. For what? For what purpose? There needs to be something else with the bread. There needs to be the sweetness of Torah. There needs to be the depth of Torah as well in order to flavor our avodas Hashem. And a person should not take lightly the idea of the little learning that goes on in the morning, a few minutes in the morning, a few minutes at night, an hour in the morning, an hour at night, because that learning that we do when we come after a job, when we sit down with the Sefer, and we come for an hour, we learn together, so that colors the entire day. That's really what the whole day is about. Because we look back in retrospect on the day and say, ah, I see that I worked, and now I have the time to sit and learn for a few minutes, and to connect back to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to create a Panim Chadash, which is really a whole new entity in our day, when we come and learn together at the end of a person's reaching out for Parnassa. And therefore, with this in mind, says the Kloisenberg Rebbe, we can tie it all together to explain the Mishnah in Shabbos, right? We only put the bread in the oven on Erev Shabbos. Right? We only go after the Parnassa in this world right now as long as we can have the crust on the bread. As long as you can really put a covering around the bread and really heat it up with the Torah and shine on it with the light of Torah, that's only going to work if it's done for Erev Shabbos, if you do it in this world. Because if you don't do it in this world, by Erev Shabbos, it's going to be too late by Shabbos in the next world. If you ran after Parnassa, Parnassa, Parnassa in this world, and you never really put that crust around the bread, the finishing touch on the bread with the Parnassa, with the Torah itself, so then it's going to be too late, and you're going to run out of time, and this world would have been for naught and a waste. And then he goes on to quote a very harsh Rashi, in Rashi's commentary on Tehillim, in Parakuf Yotes, on the famous pasuk of Eisa Sos Hashem, Hefiros Torah Secha. So Rashi writes, Ra'isi Nidrash Ba'agada, I saw a medrash, Ish Panoi V'taylan Ha'osa Taraso Itim Mayfair Bris. A person who has free time, and he doesn't make his Torah, eats him here and there, but he doesn't use the time he has to learn Torah, so that's such as a person's Hefer's Torah Secha. He turns his Torah into Itim, here, 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 and here, he learns. But he has more time, he doesn't use it. So says Rashi, that's the idea of being mefer the Torah, almost in a sense, ruining the Torah. So the Kloisenberg Rebbe says, based on this Rashi, that this is all found here in the Parsha Parah Adumah. Why? Because this is the meaning of Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah, that the Parah Adumah represents to us what Torah is all about. If a person has the blessing and has the opportunity to learn all day long, and he doesn't use that opportunity to learn when he can, and he only learns here and there a smattering throughout the day, so that's considered not a good thing. He has more time, he's not using it, so that's not appropriate. But if a person goes out and makes a parnasa, and the smattering throughout the day, he chaps in order to learn some more Torah, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, whatever it is. So that's beautiful. That's incredibly valuable to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hashem loves that, those minutes throughout the day. Because as we said before, the person is putting the crust, putting the finishing touches on his bread, on his parnasa. So he says when it comes to Parah Adumah, we know two things. First of all, the famous rule that it purifies those who are impure and it makes those who are pure impure. Right? This is what happens to the Parah Adumah. So he says the same thing over here. The person who's learning all day, but he only learns, but the person who can learn all day, but he chooses only to learn a little bit, so that's matame him, it makes him not good. But the person who has to go out and make a parnasa, and he goes and learns Torah, that little bit of Torah, that sprinkling of Torah, is matire him, it purifies him, and it makes him in to a much greater tzaddik than he was before. And the second thing, says the Kloisenberg Rebbe, is that if we think about it, what makes a Parah Adumah special? Is it genetically any more different than another cow? Is it a stronger cow? Is it a better tasting cow? What makes the Parah Adumah more special than a regular cow? So he says, absolutely nothing. There's nothing better about a Parah Adumah except what? The crust on the outside. The covering around the cow. That's what makes it better. Because that red covering around the cow is simply doing the Ratzon Hashem. It's adding something special that Hashem wants to the cow itself. But that covering on the outside makes all the difference. It made all the difference to who? The story of Dama ben Messina. We know the story of Gemara and Kedushin, where it talks about the non-Jew who had the famous gem to go on the shoulder straps of the ephod that the Kohen Gadol would wear. And he came, and the leaders of the Jewish people came to him wanting to buy the stone, and he didn't wake up his father, and he didn't keep it av, not waking up his father. And then in reward, he got a parah aduma in his lot the next year, and they came and they paid him a huge amount of money. So at the end of the day, was it a better cow? Did it taste better? Did it make better steak? Did it get anything more for the cow? No, it was the same exact cow as the black and white one and the brown one and all the other. It's the same cow. But what gave him thousands of extra dollars? Because it had a red covering around it. It had a red crust around it. And he says, this is the same idea. That just that little bit of extra we do at the end of the day, the little extra we yearn for after making a parnasa, the little extra crust we put on the bread to finish it off in the oven, Erev Shabbos in this world, that is the most valuable thing to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It gives Hashem so much hana. When a person comes home, he sits down, he eats dinner, and he comes out to learn for a little bit, or he opens up a sefer, that is yakar. It is very, very valuable to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, just like the red covering on the Parah Aduma. Is it a better? Is there anything special about it? No, but this is the Ratzon Hashem. When a person comes to learn, this is also the Ratzon Hashem. And this is the meaning, says the Prozenberg Rebbe, of Zos Chukas HaTorah. Because the Parah Aduma represents for us what Torah is all about. So the person comes and learns when he can, is Mekadoshim Shemayim, and he turns his whole day that might have been something else into something very special and very beautiful for HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he comes and learns Torah. Have a great week.